I was going to say good morning, but it's still morning, isn't it? Oh, it's almost noon. Wow, I only have two more hours to preach. Supposed to be done at one, right? Yeah, thanks, John. Appreciate that. Oh, man, get comfortable. You guys can prop your feet up. It's all right in the front row. I appreciate that. Here. There. It's good to see you guys. Thank you. We've been talking about prayer. I'll tell you what, one of the things that as I'm looking through this, as we're working through here, and in anything in the Bible, I got to understand, I'm getting more and more convinced, and I was convinced already before, but I'm getting more convinced that when we look at God the Father, and we see how he responds to us, and we see how he responds to people on the earth, to mortals, one of the things that I'm sure of is if we as fathers would respond to our children like God responds to his children, we would be awesome fathers, awesome parents. If you want to know how to raise your children, look at how God raises us. Now, which means us fathers, now we're not going to be perfect parents, and we're going to have a lot of struggles. And I know some of you guys, when you think of God and we say God is like our heavenly father, it brings back not good memories sometimes of what your father on earth was like because of sin and struggles and the fact that they were human and sometimes ruled by the natural nature that they were born with. And so I want you to think, if you had a father like that, that God is your father. And he is perfect. He doesn't make mistakes. The way he responds to us is always right. And so if I want to find out how to father, I should look at God the Father. And I had a great father, but not even look at my father. I should look at God the Father. And we should change our opinion about parenting to agree with how God asks us to parent. And I'm not sure why I said that. I should open my notes and find out. Anyway, that's one of them mornings. What's going to happen is we're getting close to the end of our study on prayer. And it's been interesting. Went into the summer thinking, well, I'm going to do a series on prayer. And then Vicki got the opportunity to lead the ladies' Bible study all summer, and it was on prayer. And we didn't compare notes, and I know we went some different places and different things, but it came together this week that they were finished, and I looked at her notes, and she told me what she was going to talk about. I told her what she was going to talk about, and it's like, man, they're almost the same thing. So what I'm going to start to talk about today, some of you ladies who went to ladies' Bible study, you're going to recognize some of them, but we compared notes, put them together, and we come up with this week's and next week's lessons that I think are just so cool. I really like it. I'm really looking forward to it, and by the time today's over, you might not like it, but that doesn't matter. I'm going to do it anyway because I really feel it's what God is teaching me. It's what we really need to learn. So we're looking at things that hinder God from answering our prayers. We've talked a lot about this all summer, but we're getting right down there. And I think if we're going to have an honest discussion about prayer, we're going to eventually get to the question, if God is able to answer my prayers, since God is able, if he's able to answer my prayers, why doesn't he? If God is able to answer my prayers, he can do anything he wants because he's God, why doesn't he always answer my prayers? And so we looked at some of those things, but it's a hard question. Why doesn't he? Can't always answer that. But I want you to know that I feel no need whatsoever to make excuses for God. Why he does and doesn't do things. Because he is God. And he is sovereign. Now, we try to figure it out sometimes, and I think there's some little clues and little things that we can do to make our prayers more answerable. But God is sovereign. He knows what's best. And sometimes it seems like he doesn't answer our prayers. And sometimes it seems like everything's right. Why doesn't he? I can't explain why sometimes it seems like he doesn't. And I'm not going to try to excuse him. So the things we're thinking aren't really excuses for why God doesn't answer your prayer. I don't need to make excuses for him. He's big enough to make excuses for himself, you know? He's big enough. He doesn't need me apologizing for him. So I don't feel like it's up to me to try to make God understood. Now, I say that by saying we do a lot of teaching the Bible and we learn all about God through the Bible, but I don't feel like my goal was to make us all understand God. For one thing, we will never understand God. Who do we think we are that we think we can understand God? And that's where a lot of theologians, not all theologians, but people try to get into trouble. They try to explain every little nuance of God. You can't do that. We can't make God small enough for my mind to understand him. His mind is way bigger than mine, fortunately. He's God. He's my master, not my servant. He's your master, not your servant. And if we try to understand the mind of God, there's no possible way. It's not understandable. So some of the things he's going to do aren't going to make sense to my tiny little piece of a mind. But God is sovereign, and he is right, and all his ways are good. I believe that, and I can't understand it. You know what I mean? I can't understand how some of his ways are good because some of them don't seem like it. So we're going to attempt to say, okay, so we're going to pray. We're going to attempt to explain some more things about prayer and trying to understand where it seems like we do get answered, we don't get answered, we don't get answered for a while. So why doesn't God answer prayer? I got to just tell you, why doesn't he always answer prayer? I don't know. Okay, that's kind of like just my statement off the top. I don't know why he always doesn't answer prayer. So if you're looking to find out the absolute answer to that, neither Vicky or I can do it. I know that nobody can. But we have studied some principles, and we have studied and learned some principles from wiser people than us and from our own experiences. And so I want to share some of those principles with you. And you ladies that were in Bible study are going to recognize this. I found a poem in a poem book. Okay, now I want you to understand, please don't judge my manhood by reading poems. Vicky found this. Okay, just want to get out there. I told first service, now my son, our youth pastor, he reads poems. He quotes poems pretty often up here, but you know, he's just, anyway. But I said that with him sitting right there, first service, so I'm allowed to talk about him behind his back. But she found this poem. It was in a poem book called Too Busy Not to Pray. And let me read it. It's just got four stanzas, so it's a good poem. Roses are red. That's the poem that I do know by heart, yes. It's talking about prayer. It says, when we request things of God, if the request is wrong, God says no. God answers no. If the timing is wrong, God says slow. If you are wrong, God says grow. And if the request is right, the timing is right, and you are right, God says yes, or God says go would be a better rhyme. Now, I'll change a couple of words around that. If the request is wrong, God says no. If the timing is wrong, God says slow. Or another word to put in there would be wait, but it doesn't rhyme, all right? So sometimes God answers with wait. It's a good request. Thanks for asking, but not right now. Let's wait. And if you are wrong, God says grow. I'd love to answer your prayer, but there's things I need to see you accomplish. There's some growth in your life we need to see before I answer it. And if the request is right, the timing is right, and you're right, God says yes, or God says go. Okay, now we're going to talk about these this week and next week, so I don't have to like fly through them because I think they're so valuable, and it's just really neat. So I want to look at them one at a time. If the request is wrong, God says no. The Bible gives a lot of examples of a request that's just not appropriate to make of God. You know, God does say, and you know what? Sometimes we think, well, God didn't answer. Well, he always answers, so sometimes he says no. You know, as a parent, we do that. Our kids and our grandkids ask for inappropriate things sometimes. No, that's not appropriate. You're only 8 months old, okay? No, you can't ride my four-wheeler. You can't drive my four-wheeler. You know, I mean, it's just things we say. But, okay, so if the request is wrong, God says no. And the Bible gives us, and I would like to, we call them inappropriate things. They might be well-intentioned, but they're inappropriate. A couple examples of that. In Matthew 17, 1-8, I'm not going to read it, but that's where Jesus goes up on the Mount of Transfiguration. When he goes up to meet Elijah and Moses, they kind of come down and they're glowing and in the Shekinah glory of God. And Jesus and these guys have a conversation up there, and Jesus takes like Peter, James, and John up with him, his closest disciples, and they're watching it like, oh, cool, they're hiding behind a rock, and Jesus, well, maybe, and Jesus is meeting with these guys, and they're just glowing and everything, and Peter, James, and John says, Lord, Lord, should we build a shelter for you? Now, I took it like maybe it was raining, you know, and they didn't want him to get wet, which would be all right, but maybe it was taken, we want to build a house somewhere where you can all dwell, and they can stay here on earth. And God says, really, that's not appropriate. And basically, God, Jesus said no. He basically ignored their request and walked away. But you know what that answer was? That's a no answer. It was an inappropriate thing. Matthew 20, 20 to 23. This is really cool. It's such a soccer mom thing to do. You know, it's just like, and if you're a soccer mom, I'm not making fun of you. I'm just saying, if you're this kind of mother, you need to learn from this example. Okay. So maybe I'm making fun of you. Matthew 20, 20, which I'm allowed because I'm here and talking and you're not. This is the wife of Zebedee, who was James and John's mother. And this is right towards the end of Jesus' life. It's awesome. And they're all sitting around and, you know, and sitting around the table. And Mrs. Zebedee comes up and asks Jesus this question. She said, grant that one of these two sons of mine may sit at your right hand and the other at your left hand in your kingdom. It's like, okay, so Jesus is talking about going back to heaven someday, and she might have thought it's an earthly kingdom, heavenly kingdom. I don't know, but the mother comes up, and all the disciples are sitting around, and she sneaks up to Jesus, and she whispers, listen, when you come into your kingdom, when you become the king, can one of my sons be on your right hand and one of my sons be on your left hand? Can they be like the most important people in your kingdom? It's like, for one thing, I think the sons should have been embarrassed, okay, that their mother did that. What kind of request is that, you know? And Jesus looks and says, you don't know what you're asking, Jesus said to them. Can you drink the cup I'm going to drink? And they were actually part of this. They said, we can, they answered. And Jesus said to them, you will indeed drink from my cup. In other words, you're going to experience death and you're going to experience suffering. You will drink from the cup of my death and the cup of my spilled blood. It'll happen to you and it won't be fun. Jesus said to them, you'll indeed drink from my cup, but to sit at my right or left hand is not for me to grant. These places belong to those whom they have been prepared for by my Father. In other words, no. Okay? No. I'm not going to grant you to sit at my right or my left, and stop being such a doting mother anyway. Okay? He didn't say that. That's just, I assume that's in there. It was probably the original version said that. The original virgin? Anyway, yeah. Luke 9, 51 to 56. And this is a man illustration, okay? This one I can relate to. This is a man illustration. It's awesome. Luke 9, 51 to 56. As the time approached for Jesus to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. And he sent messengers on ahead who went to a Samaritan village to get things ready for him. But the people there did not welcome him because he was heading for Jerusalem, because they didn't like Jerusalem. When the disciples James and John saw this, they asked, Lord, do you want us to call fire down from heaven and destroy them? It's like, isn't that a man illustration? You're picking on him. You don't like Jews. You know, how about if we call fire down from heaven to destroy him? What do you think, Jesus? Can we? But Jesus turned and rebuked them. Then he and the disciples went to another village. In other words, no, duh, you know, you can't do that. It was just an inappropriate request, okay? There's some inappropriate. The one on the Mount, Transfiguration, that was somewhat appropriate, maybe. It wasn't right. It was a wrong request. Probably wasn't even appropriate. But these other two were certainly inappropriate requests. And Jesus basically said, no. Now, if the disciples who lived with Jesus for 3 years solid, we're prone to make inappropriate requests. Don't you think we might be sometimes? I can think of inappropriate requests I have made to God. And it's like, when I look back on some of the requests I made to God in my younger years, it's like, well, that was dumb. You know, that would have been, I'm glad he didn't give it to me. I'm glad he said no, you know? And it's like, sometimes you just say no. You men give your four-year-old a really cool BB gun for Christmas. And your two-year-old says, can I have one too? No, duh. That's an inappropriate request. Sometimes God just has to say no because he knows what's right to do. And so sometimes God says no. I tell you, here's kind of like the bottom line. God loves us too much to say yes to wrong requests. God loves us too much. See, he's a perfect father. The perfect Heavenly Father can say, I understand why you're asking for that. That kind of makes sense to me. But it's not a right request. And so, no. A good father learns how to say no at the right times. Not no, no, no. Not to run around with a no face that he can't do anything. But a good father knows when to say yes and when to say no. And God loves us too much to say no when it's a wrong request. And sometimes we ask wrong requests. He'll hear because you're his child, and he'll answer, but his answer will be no. His answer will be no. I know most of us don't try to ask inappropriate questions. We try to be appropriate with God sometimes, but sometimes they just come naturally. You know, requests, like if you have a friend that's just nasty, he's selfish, someone at work, someone at school, and they just have all kinds of problems, or it's an in-law or a relative that's just nasty to you, you don't get along, they offended you and all this kind of stuff. And every time you get with them, it just brings up these feelings of anger and hurt and those things. You ask God, please change them, because they're not right. They're going the wrong direction. Lord, please change them. Because God wants people to break free of the bad habits. God wants people to have soft hearts. God wants people to learn to be a servant. God, they're just so selfish. Can you please change their hearts? But what makes that inappropriate prayer sometimes is because my focus is on wanting them to change. Wanting them to have soft hearts. Wanting them to have forgiveness. Wanting them to learn to be a servant. And sometimes my focus on them might be all about me. I don't want to deal with them anymore. And maybe God says, but I want you to change, so no, I'm not going to change them, because what I'm using them to do is make you more like me. Make you more like God. Make you more like me. I want you to learn to have a softened heart. I want you to learn forgiveness. I want you to be free in spite of them. A lot of times we get to the point where I don't want to deal with them anymore. That's why we ask God. I don't want to deal with them anymore. It comes down to a motive of my heart sometimes. And we can fool ourselves with those motives, but we can't fool God. A lot of times I'm just getting tired of dealing with them. God, I want to be happy. Why don't you fix my husband? Fix my wife? Fix my children? Fix my parents? Fix the people around me at work? And God says, no, I want to fix you. I want to make you more like me. And so God says sometimes no, because it's not an appropriate request when the motives of your heart are so that I can be happy and so I can be free of their painful comments all the time. God says, I might do that, but the answer is no, I want to fix you. And God wants to work in us. And God is not fooled by our falseness in our asking. So really what we need to do, we need to stop and we need to say, okay, God, I'm going to ask you this request, but I really want to examine myself. Why is it that I want you to answer this? And that's a great question. We need to ask ourselves, why am I asking? Why are we asking what we're asking? And I think a really interesting thing, I love this, if God would say yes to my request, what would happen? If I ask God a request, would it bring glory to Him? Or is it for my glory? Would it bring glory to God? Or is it for my glory, to make me look good? To make my life happier, easier? Is it to pass the test so I can get through and get a good grade? When we ask God, God, give me, this hunting season, give me a big buck. You know? And I know some of you guys are like, ugh. But, well, for good reason, because I want to hang the rack up on the reef here, you know? But really, I'm looking inside and saying, my motives aren't really pure on that. And God has often said no to me. Would it bring Him glory? See, God is looking. Everything that Jesus did was bring glory to God. Everything He wants us to do is with our lives bring glory to God. For us to learn to have a soft heart, for us to learn to have a forgiving heart, for us to break free of those chains brings glory to God. The testimony this morning was to bring glory to God, what God has done in Brittany's life. It's to bring glory to God. And God can take those things and those negative things in our life and bring glory to Himself. So one thing doesn't guarantee your prayers, but when we're looking at our prayers and evaluating our prayers, does it bring glory to God? Now, if our goal is to bring glory to ourselves and just make ourselves happy and make our life a little bit easier, He could answer that because He's God. He can do anything He wants. But maybe we ought to look at examine our prayers. Would it advance His kingdom? Would it advance God's kingdom? Lord, we're getting ready to go on a trip. Help us to have a safe trip. Why? So I don't get hurt and so no one in my family gets hurt? Is that really a God-honoring reason? We think, well, yeah, because it's God. No, maybe God wants me to be hurt. Maybe God is going to use that in my life, a negative, what I would consider a negative thing. Would it help His people? Would it help me to grow spiritually? So when we ask God, we should ask for God, what would, God, these people really bother me, and I got this big thing going in my life, but God, I would like to see you answer it this way, but literally, not my will, but yours be done, whatever helps me grow spiritually. Whatever's best for your kingdom, not my kingdom. So when we pray earnestly and feel resistance from heaven, I think one of the things we need to do, we feel God not answering or like He's not listening or something like that, which He is, but when we feel like He's not, we need to examine the request, and maybe the request is a problem. Maybe it's just an inappropriate request. It's all about spoiling me and making me happy, and I think that's the one that I think I ask a lot without even thinking about it. I just ask for stupid questions that spoiled me. Help me to have a good day. Help us to go my way and that to go my way. Help me to do good. And, you know. See, I think they're sometimes inappropriate requests because it's me-centered. When the reason is not wrong and we don't get the answer that we want, when the reason isn't wrong, you got to understand, sometimes we do say, for this person to get saved would bring glory to your kingdom. Because if this person was saved, if this person were healed, then they would influence all these people and people would give glory to God. That's an awesome reason. It would bring glory to God. Does God want all people to be saved? Absolutely. Did everybody you ever prayed for get saved? No. Why doesn't those prayers seem to be answered? It would bring glory to God's kingdom. But when the reason for a prayer request isn't wrong, we don't get the answer we want, it's a mystery sometimes. Why doesn't God answer those kind of prayers? People die, or people we love die from deadly diseases. Does God want that? No. Horrific tragedies happen to God's people every day in this country and piles in other countries. In the Bible, James was beheaded. The brother of Jesus was beheaded for being a pastor and teaching the word of God. And then Peter, now James, they were praying, there was a whole church praying for him and still he was beheaded. And then Peter was in prison and the church was praying and God opened the gates and calls the guards and he just wandered out to the church, to the house where everybody was praying for him. Why did God answer one and not the other? Paul suffers with this thorn in his flesh. People prayed. They prayed humbly. And if God is all powerful and loving and willing, why does he deny requests from faithful believers is a good question to ask. And I want to tell you, I can't always answer that question. I don't feel like I have to because I can't, because God is at work. Truth is, God is sovereign. He is all wise. In his wisdom, he allows evil to run its course sometimes. Or sometimes we choose things by stupid choices and God allows those things to happen. Innocent people suffer. Persecution against believers is rampant and coming to the States. Creation groans and races further and further from the original plan, and it gets messed up, and God waits. God confronts. God conforms. It seems like he's conforming, just allowing it to happen. But God is present, and he waits sometimes. But be sure of this one thing. Judgment is coming. God said, it's mine to avenge. I will repay. And you will not always see the answer to God's judgments, but it's coming. We not to be like, think, oh, God must not mind this and God must not mind sin. The answer is coming. But God is not willing, James says, that anyone perish. He is slow. He is patient. He's not willing that anyone perish. So sometimes, I talked to the first service about Sal. A lot of you guys know Sal here. We've been in men's Bible study. We've been praying for his son, Chris, for a long, long time that his son would be saved. And you know what? God has not answered that prayer yet. For the time being, God has said no. For one thing, God can't go against Chris's free will and force him to do that. But we're praying, and he might never be saved. But I want to tell you, why is sin rampant? God is not unaware, but he is patient. So it kind of leads to another thing besides God saying no, or that was an inappropriate request, so the answer is no. But sometimes when God, we ask appropriately, we don't hear from God, understand that God, he's just a good God anyway. And he asks us to ask him. And I don't know why it seems like he allows things to go. It'd be nice if he wouldn't, but then I would have probably been dead a long time ago. God was patient waiting for me. God was patient waiting for Brittany. Kind of leads us to the next answer. If the timing is wrong, God says slow. If the timing is wrong, God says slow. Slow would be sometimes God says wait. Sometimes it's not best to give your 2-year-old a BB gun. It's best to wait to at least your brother's age, depending on how trustworthy you are, you know? You know, it's like sometimes God says, wait, you know, when your son gets to be 10 and you buy him a BB gun, can I shoot our neighbor's cat? The best thing to say is, well, wait till they're not home. I guess that would be a no request. All right, that would probably be a no answer, but that illustration doesn't fit in here at all. Anyway, must have been one of Vicky's. If the timing is wrong, God says wait a little bit. When you pray for something that's really, really important and really valuable, and God says, well, not right now, let's wait a little bit. How does that make you feel? What's it make you feel like you said? It makes it feel like you said no, you know? Because we want it now. It's like children are that way with their parents, you know? Four-wheel ride. Well, a little bit later on today. Oh, four-wheel ride. Now? No, not now. A little bit later on today. Okay? Jack's always asking for however he says it. It's funny. But, you know, and sometimes you say wait a little bit and they get angry and they get upset. Don't we do that as adults sometimes? We want the answer right now. We treat God like he's Amazon Prime. You know, we want it overnight. We want it delivered overnight. How come it's not here? You know, doesn't matter that the truck driver rolled his truck out on 81. I wanted it today, and you said I'd get it today. You know, I mean, it's just sometimes God just says, wait, it's not best for you right now. God knows what he is sovereign. He knows what he's doing. Got to understand something about God. See, we see our life in a matter of a couple weeks, maybe a year ahead we can see. God sees all eternity. That's why we can trust him. He can see way more than we can see. We get all caught up in our own little world. God's saying, well, now, do this now, do this now. I need it now. And God says, no, you don't need it now. We're going to wait a little bit. We have the same response as a child sometimes that wants it now. And I want to tell you, by telling God, can I have it now? Can I have it now? God's not intimidated into submission by our insistence. Parents are sometimes, aren't they? A good parent isn't. A perfect parent isn't. But sometimes it's that, you know. And sometimes you get intimidated. Well, I don't want to hurt them. I don't want them to not like me. So we give in. God's not like that. He's not intimidated by our, God, when's this going to happen? God, when's this going to happen? He's not intimidated. He will always give us what's best when it's best. Oh, you know how I know that? Because he says so. Because if I would have gotten everything I wanted when I asked God for it, I would probably be way different than I am now. Now I'm perfect. I wouldn't have been then. You laugh. Why? You know some of the requests you've asked God. And if he would have answered that request, things would have gone totally different for me. He'll always give us what's best when it's best. And so if you look at that, why would a loving parent, why would God delay fulfilling the request if it's a decent request and if it's a God-honoring request? Listen to this, and this is interesting to me. This is a really cool verse. Hebrews 5:7-9. Hebrews 5:7-9. This is really interesting. You're talking about someone who is a prayer warrior, someone who knows way more than me. It's awesome. It's talking about Jesus. Hebrews 5:7-9. During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to the one who can save him from death. Interesting thing. Let's talk about Jesus. This is an insight into one of Jesus' prayers and what the Bible says, the commentary about Jesus praying. During his life on earth, he issued up prayers with fervent prayers, earnest prayers to God. He offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears, calling out to God, to the one who could save him from death, because he knew it was coming. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. God heard him. Son though he was, he learned obedience from what he suffered. And once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. This is what the Bible says about Jesus. This is awesome. Jesus kept praying, God, in the garden. What did he pray before he was crucified? If there's, God, I don't want to do this. It's going to be hard. It's going to hurt. I want to save Bob Kensinger. I want to die to take away the sins of all those who ask me and accept my forgiveness. God, I want to get there. But I don't know if I want to go through the pain and the suffering to become the Savior of the world. And he's crying to God, God, if there's any other way. And God answered his prayer with, I know you really want to be Savior of the world, but I'm not going to answer that prayer right now. I need you to continue in this pain a little bit longer. I need you to suffer a little bit more. And how many of us, when God tells us that, when God doesn't answer our prayer, but God, it hurts and all this is falling apart, we say, God, where are you? And God says, I'm here. And it's okay to ask for that request, but not yet. I can't answer it yet. You need to maintain a little bit longer. And so that Jesus learned obedience. That boggles my mind. Jesus learned obedience from what he suffered. And sometimes God needs to teach us obedience through suffering. Because if every time something happened to us, we say, God, please help take care of that person. Poof. Oh, that's nice. And help take care of that person. Boom. But sometimes God needs to train us and teach us through that suffering. Son though he was, he learned obedience from what he suffered. And once made perfect, then he became the source. Then he got the answer to his prayer requests. What he really wanted was to be the savior of mankind, but it had to be done through God's plan. Then he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. That's just awesome. So sometimes our request isn't really what we want. God, help me to be a good witness to that person, but here's how I'd like you to do it. And so sometimes God brings pain into your life so that person watches that pain and watches how you handle that. And God teaches you from that. God, I want to be a good example to my children. But man, what my father did to me, I will never forgive him. And God says, well then, I can't work in your life until you learn, until I grow you. So I know you want to be a good example, but when there's that there, you can't. And just, you can make up your own examples and think of your own life. Sometimes God wants to develop character in us, patience, endurance, trust, submission. Sometimes God doesn't answer us right away because we need to grow. Right now you need to grow. And you're not patient. You're not enduring. And I had a, there was a guy in way back when I was just a young lad. And when I was a youth pastor, probably wasn't that young, I was like 30, 35 years old, and had a youth group down in Lancaster as a youth director, and down there, and there was a guy in our youth group named Ron. Now, I can tell you his name, he don't mind, because he's in heaven now, but his name was Ron. And he would, every time we went on a youth retreat, or trip or anything, if it was a longer trip, we'd always stop and get gas and sheets or something to drink or something to eat or something, and they'd run in there. His parents would have given him enough money for a snack and to buy lunch on the beach and to buy food on the way home when we stopped at Pizza Hut, all right? And parents always gave him that money. And without a doubt, every single time that we went on a trip, the first stop, all his money be gone. I mean, literally. I mean, it's seriously, he'd buy like, he could eat like crazy. He'd buy all this kind of stuff and food and everything. He'd be on the bus and he'd be giving it to people and eating. And then we get to the beach and it's lunchtime. Okay, you guys want to go buy lunch or you can eat lunch here if you packed a lunch. He never packed a lunch, okay? But he didn't have any money to go out. And he said, hey, can someone lend me some money? Can you share your food, you know? And every single time this happened, and he was in senior high. And so one day at the beach, we sit here, he spent all his money. He said, I spent all my money and eating all this food. And we get to the beach, and then everybody's going to get lunch out. He said, hey, can someone give me some food? Or Bob, can you give me some money? Can someone lend me some money? And so I stopped, got everybody together, and I just said, listen, all the rest of today, nobody is allowed to give Ron money or to give him any food for the rest of the day. Just water. And everybody's like, okay. Nobody gave me anything to eat. Nobody gave money the rest of the day. We're eating lunch, and he's like, and nobody, I watched him the rest of the day. I would not allow anybody to feed him the rest of the day. And then the day went, he had water, so he was hydrated. We get home, we stop at Pizza Hut. I said, even tonight, nobody can give him anything to eat. Then I felt bad for him a little bit, so I told people, okay, I'm going to change my rule. If any of you don't want your crust, you can give your crust to Ron, that's all. No cheese on it. You need to eat it right down to the... And so people gave him crust. That was awesome. I was enacting my fatherhood over Ron Reiner. Every single trip we took after that, first stop, he came back and said, oh, money left over. Never had that problem again, ever. If we had just answered his request, can someone give me something to eat? He'd still be, well, not now, he's in heaven, but he would still, all the rest of his life, he'd have been just, he needed to what? Grow. He needed to become patient. He needed to, whatever word you want to put in there, he needed to learn. And as a good father, as a good youth leader, he learned. Even though it's not what he wanted, even though he was hungry all day, thought those crusts were like $1 million, Nobody wanted him anyway, but it was just an awesome thing. We developed character in him, patient endurance. Isaiah 55, 8 to 9 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts," and Brittany shared this, "neither are your ways my ways, declared the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts than yours." God sees the whole entire picture of our life. He doesn't always answer our request exactly the way we ask. He evaluates them. I had another guy, because we read that verse, because for reasons that only God can see, sometimes he doesn't answer our requests. Because God sees the whole future. We're just kind of living in the now. And so I had another guy, when I was at youth group, we go up to the top of the mountain where the youth group, some of you guys go up hiking on the backpack, and there's that lake up there. It's Shikellamy Dam or Shikellamy Reservoir right above where Camp Shikellamy was up on the Appalachian Trail. And we used to take the guys for a hike up there, and everybody camp out at night. One thing we always did, we went down to the dam right just down the mountain a little bit, freezing cold water. And there was a rope swing there, and people jump in, and these little junior high guys, they come up like they couldn't even breathe. It's in your lungs. You know, it was like ice water. And we were walking across the dam one time. There's a guy in the youth group named Brian. And we were walking across the dam. It's just a little skinny thing. It's, you know, like 20, 15 feet on one side and water on the other side. And I don't know whether someone pushed him or he just lost his balance and he fell into the water, okay? Wasn't expecting it, fully dressed, fell into the water. And after he came up from the water, he was about maybe 4 feet out from the dam. And he's like, you should see his eyes. It was awesome. I wish I would have had a camera just to take a picture of him. Wait a minute. Don't drown yet. Let me take a picture. And so he was like, I knew he could swim. I knew he could swim. And he got out the word, help, help. And he kind of got a hand out there and they're trying to paddle, help, help. And I told everybody to get back. Nobody help him in. Aren't you glad I'm not your youth leader from this church anymore? All right. I said, Brian, you can swim. You know how to swim. You swim those 4 feet. I can. And we all backed up. I said, swim. And guess what he did? He swam. He swam back to the raft. I mean, to the shore, to the thing. Damn. I mean, I'm not just, he swam back to that. I know, just the swam got me mixed up, you know. First service, the school teachers were like, I can't believe it. Swim, swam, swam. Which makes much more sense to me than swim, swam, swam. Duh. That's dumb stuff to have to learn. Anyway. Why didn't I help him? Because I knew he could do it. And if I helped him, it would enable his fright and his panic mode that he went into. I was right there. I would have jumped in and got him. I have other times I rescued him because he was that kind of a guy that I did rescue him. But this time I just didn't. I said, you swim. And he swam to shore. And he still remembers that. And he still talks to me about that. Well, he lives in California, so we don't talk often. But he still remembers that time when I wouldn't help him get out of the, he thought he was drowning. But he swam. But it's just like, it's sometimes God does that. Sometimes God says, well, I'm going to wait. There's something I have to teach you. And Brian learned not to panic in a situation like that. He learned that he can do it. And there's some things God just says, I got to teach you a lesson on this. It's not best sometimes to jump in and rescue somebody. It's not best to take away pain. God knows what's best. And sometimes he says no. And sometimes he says not right now. He says wait a little bit. Another one is, if you're wrong, God says grow. If you're wrong sometimes, God says, grow. And that's what I did with Brian in that dam. He needed to grow sometimes. Sometimes if our prayers aren't answered, we tend to think, what's wrong with God? You know? But what we need, I'm just looking at my time. Oh, man, cotton pick. Time's up already. We'll just keep going. No, I'm not. I'm going to stop there, and we'll pick up there next week. So this is kind of like an abrupt, a screeching halt. Kind of what one of the things that we looked at, is, I don't want to stop yet, but I will. One of the things we looked at is sometimes God, when he doesn't answer, it seems like he doesn't answer. Sometimes it's a no, and sometimes it's a just wait. But I think we need to spend another week really evaluating our prayers and evaluating why I'm asking this. God, is this for my benefit? Because God can look right through that and see what our heart's thinking. Is this for my benefit? Is this for eternal kingdoms? Is this for eternal benefits? Is this where I stopped first service? It's not. Oh, man. Let me fit. Can I have like 5 more minutes or less? If not, leave. Anyway, the third one is if you're wrong, God says, grow. God says, I need to speak to you. And that's where that Brian illustration comes in. He needed to grow. Ron needed to grow. Sometimes God doesn't answer you. We tend to think that what's wrong with God if he doesn't answer my prayers? But I think sometimes we need to look in the mirror and say, maybe what's wrong with me? Why doesn't God answer my prayer? A couple things that are possible, a couple things that with me, some of the reason that God doesn't answer prayers is I'm the problem. And James 4:2 says, you desire, but you do not have, so you kill, you covet, but you cannot get what you want. So you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. I think we need to spend time asking God. And not only that, evaluating our own prayers and saying, am I praying? Is there something in my prayer that's keeping God from answering that he can't? And if God, if you want to teach me a lesson, I'm listening. I'm listening. Please speak. I'll just jump right to the end. Last week we talked about the elephant in the room. Remember the elephant in the room? Where sometimes my prayers are polluted. Sometimes God doesn't answer your prayers because your prayers are polluted. Polluted by sin. Polluted by things that we're allowing into our life. Just contaminated by hidden sin. We talked about this last week. The Bible says, "For whoever in 1 Peter 3:10-12, for whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil, their lips from deceitful speech. They must turn from evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it." You know what that's saying? If you want to see life and good days, keep your tongue from evil. What does your tongue do that's evil? Besides swearing and cursing, the gossip and the dissension and the talking about other people behind their back. Keep their lips from deceitful speech. Turn from evil and do good. Turn away from the garbage in your life. You know it's there. We know it's there sometimes, but we let it there and wonder why God doesn't answer our prayers, because sometimes our prayers are polluted with junk in our life. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. His ears are attentive to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. I think it makes so much sense that God will not bless the path to our destruction. And if you are hiding a sin from somebody, from anybody, from your wife, from your children, from your husband, from your parents, then don't even think about praying for God to bless you, because God cannot bless something that will destroy you, because he is a good God, a good Father. Leave that. Get back in the right path. Micah 6:8 says, he has shown you, a mortal, what is good and what the Lord requires of you. Act justly. Love mercy. Walk humbly with your God. That's nothing more than personal integrity, love for others, and a personal relationship with him. Sometimes God doesn't bless us because that elephant in the room, and I know I'm ending the same kind of place we ended last week, but we are all having a sinful nature. And so many times church people, and I have done this again and again in my life, I've tried to protect certain little sins in my life that I think nobody sees. And then I wonder why God doesn't answer my prayer. God sees that elephant. We're praying to God, bless me. And God's like saying, what was that? What do you want me to do? There's this huge elephant in the room. Get rid of the elephant. And then you watch what God does, and you watch the kind of prayers. Evaluate your own prayers so God doesn't have to judge them that way. Am I praying right? Am I praying for things that bring glory to God? Or am I just praying for that person because they bother me? And if they just moved out of my life, I'd be just as happy as if God changed them. Maybe God wants to change you. Maybe there's that sin of pride, that sin of arrogance. Shame on you, sinful people. Me. Why doesn't God answer our prayers? That's some little hints as to maybe why. So work on a couple of those this week. I hope they were clear. I can't answer them perfectly, but God is sovereign. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for your greatness. Thank you that you are the perfect example of a father. You are a perfect heavenly father. I want to design my parenting after you, my grandparenting after you. But God, you don't always answer things the way I want them to be answered. But God, way down at the bottom of it, please, your will be done, not mine. You care. You love people. You can't make them change. But God, please work the circumstances and use me if it's hurt for me, if it's hard for me, God, use me to bring glory to you so that they can see you working in me and that they will bring glory to your name. Please use us as men and women of God. Help us to go out of here just a little bit closer to you. Help us to evaluate our prayers a little bit more. And thank you for the power of that prayer. But God, more than anything, thank you that you are sovereign and a loving God. You're awesome. In Jesus' name, amen.